Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well.
Excellent, excellent. Let's start with Leeds United. Loads to go for us as per usual, but with Leeds, it's the big kick-off this weekend, KB. Bolton away. Finally, after all pre-season and all the things that have been going on during the summer, we can get back to normal business resuming.
Yeah, of course, people don't always realise that in fact it's busy at a football club during the close season. It is in the routine of the playing season, because have everything to do, you know, like clearing up after last season, making the repairs, painting, cleaning, decorating, planning off season, getting a new contract signed up, not just for players, but for suppliers. It's all very busy, and it's all very interesting if you're involved in the thick of it. If not, it seems a bit like calm waters, but like a swamp. Your swamps gliding along very gracefully on the River Thames, on the River Aire. But beneath the surface, his feet are paddling like hell, and that's what a football club's like. And they'll almost be relieved they're now onto they're starting a routine beginning this week. But I think an awful lot they're taking back, a lot of players have been signed. But as I think I was saying before, needs to be a little bit patient and give them time. We can't we had to really judge how they're doing until the middle of September. Some people, I see John Terry, new captain of Aston Villa, have stated quite bluntly they intend to be promoted to the Premiership as champions. So that's setting the bar high, and it's a challenge for both himself and his fellow players, teammates. But he also brings on a bit of pressure, and that claim or demand might come back to haunt him. I hope not, but I hope he does, because I hope they finish just below us. But let's just see, give the new manager a chance to settle in. By now, of course, he should have got to get an idea of what his players' characters are like, who's compatible with who on the pitch, and how certain people's style of play do or do not fit in well with the method of playing that he wants to strive for. So, an interesting start, Bolton away. Very interesting start. And of course, you can hear it live on Radio Yorkshire.
Certainly can, KB. It's live from 3 on Sunday afternoon with Simon Barlow at Stats and, of course, Neil Redfern. Just continuing with football, lots of transfer news making headlines in the last 24 hours, especially one particular player, Neymar, going from Barcelona to PSG for £198 million. Is this the point where football has gone completely bonkers, KB?
No, it's just the Arabs who are completely bonkers. You have to remember that Qatar is an oil and gas-rich little country. They didn't know anything about it. It's the Europeans have found it and developed it. But the Qataris own it. And it's a very small country, very small population. And they're making an awful lot of money. Some might say more sense than money. And they're spending it madly. I mean, the allegations are, of course, they bought the World Cup 2022. They bought Harrod, they own the Shard. Bought PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. They've been pumping money into them like nobody's business. But here's the interesting thing, which I must say has taken a little bit of pleasure out of, and that is that last year, with all their money, they didn't win the French League. That was won by Little Monaco, average gate 8,000-10,000. It's owned by a Russian billionaire, but he spent his money wisely. So money doesn't always guarantee success. And if this guy turns out to be a stinker, well, so be it. But Qatar just shrugged his shoulders and burned by another one. Certainly scored in the French game. Hopefully, he won't infect the rest of the world football to the same extent. But we do have to remember that football has changed anyway because of the explosion of value in TV coverage of live soccer around the world. Remember, I was sitting in Rupert Murdoch, St James's penthouse, 1992, saying we wanted 50 million pounds a year for the national rights. And he swallowed hard and said, well, we'll try and get up. We can work up to that over time. And Ron knows, and I said, no, 50 million a year now for a 3-year contract. And he signed it. He agreed somewhat reluctantly. Then big fat Sam Chisholm from Aussie, lovely fella, took over running Sky Sports, introduced pay-per-view, and that was the first start of the revolution. But 50 million, up from 11 million, the Greg Dyke by TV snatched it from the BBC ITV cartel, to paying 3 million. So 3 million to 11 million to 50 million. Now to 2.7 billion. Amazing. As Alan Sugar famously said, it can only be like prune juice. So you go to the shop and comes out to the players at the bottom. And unfortunately, he was right.
Well, KB.
But the other thing is that the only consolation is that money can't guarantee you success. I think in this premiership now we've got 11 or 12 clubs that are foreign owned by millionaires or multimillionaires or billionaires, etc., etc. But as I say, they're all owned by Russian, Arab, Chinese, Malaysian, and Thai investors. There'll still be three relegated. Because the great thing about football, if you're a winner, you've got a loser. If you're a loser, you've got a winner. It's far more fun than in America. With all their sports, they don't have promotional relegation. On the other hand, let's also consider how the prosperity is cascading down, even down to Leeds. We've got 18,000 season tickets and going strong. I think it's the highest since 2004. I think there'll be a reason there. That shows an upsurge in expectation. Always being carried by the fact that there are far less freebies these days. So the gate attendance and gate receipts should be genuine. Which takes you to get back to lead again. But Qatar, who are accused of funding terrorists in the Middle East, and now sanctions imposed on by their Arab brothers, are a one-off waste of space. I wouldn't go there. I've been there once on business. I wouldn't go there for a holiday. I wouldn't use your airline. And then get on with it.
Okay, B, moving on. Brexit's still obviously on the tip of most people's tongues. Apparently a bit of an alliance between Labour and Conservative MPs are aiming to force a vote on whether the UK should remain in the EEA, the European Economic Area, which would mean probably staying in the single market after Brexit.
Well, I think what we have to remember, this is what they call the political silly season. July and August, there's not much work done. There is some of the political parties have their conferences and rallies. Parliament shuts down. Civil service go back to their desks, which enables them to sleep during the afternoon, and everything dies down. So there's nothing for them to do except speculate, ruminate, plot and plan. But at the end of the day, and the other thing, of course, you can't do, people won't make any progress, but the fact of the matter is, Europe also closes down during the summer. And I think there's a general election or an election of some kind coming up in Germany, so a bit of indecision there until that matter resolved. You've got the new French president who, having come out from nowhere, is making a bit of an ass of himself in France, which is creating some uncertainty. So I think that all this talk about this and that and speculation, it just goes on to a certain extent. It's like all the transfer speculation we're watching in football. And I think that all these people, plotting and planning, but they don't know who to plot and plan with or about. Because the government, I say, the government hadn't revealed any information, this and that. Well, of course, they're not going to. We've said it before, we'll say it again, and say it again in the future. You don't go into negotiations and do them through the media. You do business behind closed doors, and you announce what you've agreed. In the meantime, of course, you've got these anti-UK and anti-Brexiteers in Europe making all kinds of threats and allegations and claims. But the fact of the matter is, like all bullies, they call their bluff and they've got nothing left. See people who are saying, we want this, we want that. Well, probably they do. Doesn't mean they're going to get it. And they can say, we're threatening to do this, do that, do that. Well, what are they going to do? Interestingly, this week it was announced that Deutsche Bank, the big German bank, are renting an entirely new office block to base something like 1,000 employees there. That's a good sign. Google are increasing their staff in the UK. And there are lots of other less known foreign manufacturers or businesses who are quietly establishing a foothold in the UK. So I am fairly cheerful about Brexit. I think it was the right decision. I think Mrs. May, Prime Minister, has to be a bit ruthless. I was reading the paper this morning, for example, the four ambassadors or councillors or representatives in Europe who are anti-Brexit. Well, they should be sacked. Replaced by people who are going to play the game. When you pick your football team, you don't put three players in out of 11. I think we're going to get relegated here. You get rid of them, put in three players, I think we're going to get promoted. And there are more ways than one of killing a cat if you want to be obstructive. I think all the civil servants have to be told quite bluntly. We are leaving Europe. We're going to get the best deal we can. We're not going to be bullied, blackmailed, or terrified. If your heart isn't in it, get out now. tough, resolute. And we will get the result we want and a great future. Incidentally, with one brilliant stroke of a pen, one single stroke of a pen, we can solve all the shortage of money that's needed apparently for the police, the emergency services, schools. Let's repeal the law which that idiot Cameron introduced, saying that we consider 0.7% of our GDP overseas aid. What people haven't probably realised is that our GDP, gross domestic product, is growing every year. So that 0.7% is also growing every year. We don't know what to do with it. Finally, so repeal the law, keep the money at home, where charity begins, at home. I couldn't believe, reading again in the newspaper yesterday, Brazil is the ninth richest country in the world. We're giving them another $80 million a year in aid. What the hell are we doing that for? And why do we watch China, India, Pakistan and Russia all got in common? Wait for it. They are all nuclear powers. And we give them all aid. What the hell are we doing? In fact, I even read somewhere, you know, we're giving North Korea aid. Well, they can afford atomic weapons, they don't need aid. So that's my message for the week. Scrap overseas aid. Most of it, particularly in Africa, is corrupt, is stolen, or misspent. Balance our books, bring down our deficit, and so improve conditions and resources for our art industries. Oh, and I don't understand, sorry, one last thing, I never heard about a chancellor of university. I keep hearing about the vice chancellors who apparently run these universities, earning up to £500,000 a year each. For doing what? 8 months of the year job. Make a fortune on the side writing research papers. And getting very bad results on grading. Bolton was a particular example this week. Oh, we're going there on Sunday. Well, perhaps we can go and teach them a few lessons on the field as well as off the field. So there you are. That's it, Darren. That's my word for the week.
Marvellous. KB, thanks very much. We'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, bye. And good luck on Sunday.